You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
A Friday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. The Warriors without a center because Kevon Looney is out for at least 2 weeks with a sprained left ankle. James Wiseman was out with a sprained left wrist, though he should be back in about a week or so. And then hours before the game, Eric Paschal was a late scratch because he woke up with a swollen right knee that was pretty painful. But as shorthanded as they were, they blitzed the Mavericks, scoring 147 points. It was their best offensive performance of the season. They played with pace, they moved the ball well, and just seemed to have a good energy about them. And it felt like they really embraced that challenge of having to play Dallas, in Dallas, without a true center on the roster. Now, without Looney and Wiseman, obviously they don't have a true center, but Paschal, he's been playing center for them too, though he's just 6'6", but he's been anchoring that bench unit. And so without any of those guys who've been getting the lion's share of the minutes at center, Draymond Green started for them at the five. Juan Toscano-Anderson, who's on a two-way contract, was starting for them at the four. Draymond played 29 minutes. Juan Toscano-Anderson played 40. So they relied on him quite a bit. And it was interesting to me because Draymond Green, before the last couple of games, before the loss against Boston, before this win against the Mavericks, had not played a single minute at center all season. Their small ball lineups used Eric Paschal at the five, not Draymond Green. And I think part of that was because Draymond was still getting into playing shape, was still finding his conditioning and all of those things, and you don't want to put all that wear and tear on him at this age, this early in the season. So I understand that, and obviously you want to find, you know, you want to find a role for Eric Paschal, and he was playing well in that role. But Draymond, there was a lot asked of him Thursday night, and he delivered. I thought it was his best game of the season. 11 points, 15 assists, 6 rebounds. But just beyond that, pushed the pace. He had two dunks in that game. Before Thursday night, he had two dunks all season. That indicates that maybe that athleticism is starting to come along. And this is a few days after he said he was 2 to 3 weeks away from being in peak playoff condition or peak playing condition. And I had Whitley Sendretto on the show yesterday, and we kind of talked about that. 2 to 3 weeks away, man, that's the second half of the season. That's too late. Well, he was forced to kind of get into playing shape a little bit here. And he delivered. Juan Toscano-Anderson had a great game, too. Plus 26, led all Warriors tonight. 14 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Just making smart plays. Heady plays. Setting the right screen at the right time. Making just the right play over and over. Defended well. And then, of course, you had Kelly Oubre. Not just his best game of the season, the best game of his career. 40 points, a career high. 40 points, 14 of 21 shooting, 7 of 10 from three-point range. He also had 8 rebounds and a couple of assists, a steal and a block, and just 2 turnovers, which was nice. And you wonder if this could be a breakout performance for Oubre, who clearly benefited from more space without a traditional center clogging the lane. He got to the rim easily. And once he got into that rhythm, everything else kind of flowed after that. The three-pointers in the corner started coming, all of those things. I mean, he really benefited from the pace of this game. And so I wonder if the Warriors can pull something out of this. To me, this game could be an inflection point of their season. Not to say that they're going to start Draymond at center every night. But you do wonder, and I thought it was pretty telling, Steph Curry after the game asked about whether or not the Warriors can sort of maintain and pull out some things that they learned in this game, said this might be good for James Wiseman to see. And I thought that was pretty telling because the ball movement was so good tonight. So good or Thursday night. 37 assists on 51 made field goals. And when you have one player who just kind of puts the brakes on the ball movement, it affects everything. It affects the entire offense. It affects the entire flow of the offense. All of this ball movement stuff that Steve Kerr wants, One player who doesn't contribute, one player who stops the ball can stop everything. He wants all five players to touch the ball in every possession. So if James Wiseman or even Kelly Oubre is the third guy to touch the ball and they just stop the ball movement, well then two other guys aren't getting the ball and it just puts the brakes on the whole thing. That didn't happen Thursday night. Because the guys that they played were all guys who like to move the ball. Unselfish players, generous with the ball, maybe sometimes a little too generous, but nonetheless, it helped with the flow of the offense. They eclipsed the 100-point mark with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. Easily the best offensive performance of their season. Easily. And so you wonder if they could sort of bring some of these things back, or if they can continue these trends when Looney comes back, when James Wiseman comes back, when Eric Paschal comes back. Eric Paschal has improved as a playmaker, but he's not, you know, he does tend to dribble the ball a little bit. This is the way they want to play. And so I'll say it again. I think they embraced this challenge. They used their speed. They used their pace to get the best of Dallas's size. The Mavericks, by the way, are struggling. And they're on the second night of a back-to-back. However, there are still things that they could take from this game. And that's why I wonder if it's an inflection point. If they see this as proof of product and say, look, all these other things that we were trying to do, all these other things about trying to integrate James Wiseman, all these other things about the second unit with Eric Paschal anchoring that, all these things that we thought were working, this works better. Let's try to keep doing whatever it is this is. You know, some of that pick and roll stuff and all these, the simplified offense, all that stuff. It was a simple offense. Steve Kerr said he barely called any plays Thursday night. Just run. And of course, the defense helped, right? You get stops in that second half, it turns into transition opportunities. Now, I don't know if you're going to be able to do that when James Wiseman is out there. He's not the best passer. He doesn't have great court vision, right? He's still learning the speed of the game and all those things. But Kevon Looney can. Eric Paschal, like I said, has improved. There's reasons to believe that they can do that. But one thing I would like to see is more minutes at center for Draymond Green. More minutes at center with Draymond Green. Without Kevon Looney clogging the paint, without James Wiseman on the court kind of slowing things down, and without Eric Paschal. This is the lineup that I think the Warriors can use going forward. This might be their best lineup. Coming up, how the Warriors leveraged their lack of size to do what the Mavericks couldn't. But first, let's talk about Bet Online. The Super Bowl is on Sunday. It is the sports betting event of the year. There's only one place that has you covered, one place I trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Again, the Super Bowl is the betting event of the year. You've got, obviously, the money lines, the over-unders, the spread, all of the usual things. But what really makes the Super Bowl special is all of the prop bets that you can bet on. And so with this promo code, you're getting a 50% welcome bonus. So you're getting half the money from your initial deposit. They're going to give that to you for free. So you could take that money, free money, to win more money with. Take that money. That's the scratch that you use with, like, these crazy bets. Like, find whatever it is that the GameStop prop bet is of the game. Put some of that free money down on that because you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. I don't know. Do you think Kansas City's, you know, third string tight end will score a touchdown? Whatever. Put $5 on that. You could be a $300 payout. I don't know. Fun stuff like that. That's the way to do it. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. It's time for our stat of the game. Despite not having a single player taller than 6'7", the Warriors outscored the Mavericks 54-36 in the paint. Now, how did they do that? Well, the Mavericks had their own issues. Like I said, they're playing on the second night of a back-to-back, so maybe they didn't want to body up in the paint so much, but that's really not an excuse. Dallas has been struggling all season long. And look, I hate to quote Charles Barkley from the TNT broadcast, but he was right in saying that Kristaps Porzingis at 7'4" needed to post up the Warriors more, but he didn't. He took 16 shots. Eight of those, half of them, were from three-point range. Now, that was a win for the Warriors, even though Porzingis he made a lot of them. He went 5 of 8. I think he made 3 straight to start the third quarter that kind of made that little run for Dallas, but that ended up being their last gasp because they couldn't find consistent offense for the rest of the game. And so the Warriors, after giving up 70-plus points to the Mavericks in the first half, gave up just 40 points to Dallas in the second half, outscoring them by 34 points, I believe, in that second half. It was one of the offense got a lot of attention, and obviously it should have, scoring almost 150 points. But the defense, to me, in the second half was really, really strong. And they're the reason, I think partly the Mavericks not taking it to the post more, not forcing the issue, had a lot to do with it. But Golden State's defense, specifically on Luka Doncic, where I thought early on Luka was going to have himself a game because he drew 2 early fouls on Andrew Wiggins, who, by the way, struggled overall in the game, 7 of 18 for 18 points. Tough game for him, but wasn't totally a negative, and I thought did a little bit more on defense after that initial, you know, foul trouble that he had against Luka. But after, you know, after a strong start for him, Doncic, 8 of 20 overall for 27 points, he was inefficient. He was productive, 27 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, but inefficient. 5 turnovers in the game to 6 assists, that's not a great ratio for him. And you credit the Warriors for making it difficult. Thought it was a really strong offense, defensive performance for them down the stretch. And they also out-rebounded the Mavericks, 45 to 42. They gave up 10 offensive rebounds, but most of those, again, were in the first half, not the second half. So they figured it out. It took a while, but like I said, this was really the first time Draymond Green played center full-time, only the second time all season that he played the entire first and third quarters. His conditioning is coming along. It took them a minute, playing small, to figure out what it is that they wanted to do offensively and defensively, but once they figured it out, it clicked. And the offense was moving the ball, and the defense was thriving. They were blitzing, helping, rotating really well. They used their speed to their advantage. And the Mavericks did not use their size to their advantage. They did not try to slow the game down whatsoever. This game was played at a pace of 102.6, which is pretty fast. And Scary's2X writes in, "You would think that a 7-footer with a skill set like Kristaps Porzingis would post up the Warriors' small lineup, but Rick Carlisle is a dumbass." Now, I like Rick Carlisle. I do. But to Scary's2X's point, did not coach a good game. Did not, for whatever reason, did not adjust his game plan based on the matchup. And I find this curious because, like I said, I think Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. I think he's one of the best 7 or 8 coaches in the NBA. I do. But he does seem to be a scheme guy. And what I mean by that is there seems to be a little bit of a troubling trend to me in the NBA overall of coaches sticking to their schemes, just this orthodox way of not changing what it is you do because you have a philosophy, and damn it, you're going to stick to it. And we saw that with Mike Budenholzer last year in the playoffs, not adjusting to the Miami Heat. Well, the Bucks were eliminated in the second round. And I will give Steve Kerr credit for this. He adjusted to his personnel. And we saw him do that last year as well, with guys in and out of the lineup. You know, does the offense run through D'Angelo Russell or does it not? You make the Andrew Wiggins trade. Steph Curry gets injured. All these things that happened last year. Steve Kerr adjusted his game plan at every turn. He did so again tonight. When pushed into a corner, he was forced to play Draymond Green full-time at center, forced to play Juan Toscano-Anderson real, meaningful rotation minutes, despite him being on a two-way contract and barely playing all season long. Adjusted his game plan, and he said before the game, "We're going to run, we're going to play fast, we're going to push the issue, we're going to use our speed, we're going to use our strengths to our advantages." What a shocking concept. What a shocking concept. It is bananas to me that Dallas did not try to punish the Warriors in the paint more. And so you credit Steve Kerr for doing what it is, but to me, as an NBA fan in general, it was a little frustrating to see Dallas do what it does. It frustrated me to see Mike Budenholzer refuse to actually coach last year in the playoffs. And again, you see this so often. But then you see the best coaches in the league do the opposite. The hell with the philosophy. Yes, Steve Kerr has principles that he would like to maintain. Ball movement is always important, right? Always important. Always important. He doesn't want to, he is a little stubborn in not doing pick and roll more often and all these things. But wouldn't you rather have Steve Kerr's track record as opposed to Mike D'Antoni, who is one of these orthodox coaches? Wouldn't you rather have Steve Kerr's track record as opposed to Mike Budenholzer? Or even Rick Carlisle, who I think, again, is a very good coach. Mike Budenholzer, very good coach. Mike D'Antoni is a good coach. But they have a ceiling because they're not willing to adapt. Who are the coaches that do adapt? Steve Kerr, 3 championships. Eric Spoelstra, 3 championships. Frank Vogel won a championship last year, playing a versatile style of basketball with the Lakers. These are the coaches who ultimately win championships. Coming up, what's going on with Alan Smilagic? But first, let's talk about Built Bar. It's a new year, and while I'm not really a resolution guy, I do like to lock in my diet at the start of each year, especially after what I ate during the holidays. That's what makes Built Bars so perfect. They satisfy my hunger while I'm busy at work. They taste great. They work perfectly with my low-carb and low-sugar diet. And with 18 amazing flavors like salted caramel, lemon almond cheesecake, and peanut butter brownie, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. I have always at least one Built Bar in my backpack at all times. I can't really go to the arenas right now to work other than for game nights and stuff like that. But, whenever I do go, I always make sure I have a Built Bar with me because they're not feeding us at these games anymore. And I get hungry. And when I get hungry, I can't focus. And maybe you're the same way. You don't know really sometimes when hunger is going to strike. And especially for me, because hours just fly by when I'm working. And so when I get into a situation like that, I'll go into my bag, I'll grab a Built Bar, it holds me over until I can go get a real meal, you know, a real dinner or something like that after the game. Built Bar is great for health-conscious men and women, whether you want to maintain or lose weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low-calorie, they're low-sugar, they're high-protein, they're high-fiber, great if you're starting a keto diet in 2021. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off on your next order. Again, use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's also talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online instead at rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of different manufacturers. They've got everything that you need, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. You can't beat that. The RockAuto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, the prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low. They are fair. You're not going to get marked up like you do at a car dealership or some of these other chain storefronts that you're aware of. Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. Today on Locked On NBA, join Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers and Adam Mares of Locked On Nuggets for a wrap-up of the biggest stories around the league. Anthony and Adam bring you game recaps, weekend previews, and a weekly NBA power ranking that you can't miss. Subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts. It's time for our Twitter question of the game. And during the game, I tweeted, there are no plans to bring Alan Smilagic into the fold. Steve Kerr citing the fact that he hasn't practiced or played yet all season. The plan remains for Smilagic to go to Orlando for the G League season. And so Black Love on Twitter replied to me, remains? He's not down there yet? No, Smilagic is not in Orlando for the G League bubble yet. He is still dealing with that injury, hasn't played. He's still rehabbing and all these things. So before he actually goes over there, they want him to rehab and get into condition before he is basically quarantined into a bubble, right? It doesn't make sense for where he's at right now in his recovery period. So that's a problem, right? Because Alan Smilagic was never really going to play meaningful minutes for this team regardless. But maybe in the case of injuries like they had tonight, he could see some minutes. Now, I still have my doubts that they, even with Smilagic healthy, that he would have played tonight. Based on what we saw last season, he is not ready to play real NBA minutes for a team that is trying to win games. I love the potential there. I really do think that there's something there. I do. He's really athletic. He plays with a ton of force and energy. He does have nice touch shooting the ball. I reported before the season that their developmental plan for him is they look at him as maybe the next Davis Bertans, best case scenario. But that's years away, people. Years away. Not next year, not later this season. I'm talking about a 2 years away from being 2 years away kind of deal. Okay? And so I do wonder, based on the injury concerns that he's had now for those two NBA seasons, his first two NBA seasons, because he was injured a lot in his rookie year, and he hasn't played at all this year. He hasn't practiced at all this year. I do wonder whether or not the Warriors should be using one of their very valuable 15-man roster spots on Alan Smith-Geach, especially when you have Juan Toscano-Anderson, who so clearly can make an impact on this team right now on a two-way contract. And so I think about last year, when Damian Lee was such an important part of the roster, ended up starting at shooting guard, and when the days on his two-way expired, they found a way to bring him up to the roster. They ended up waiving Marquese Chris. They ended up waiving Marquese Chris and then bringing him back on a two-way and then finding room for him, too, on the roster after the trade deadline. And so, can we see something similar happen right now? Because if Alan Smolagic is really 2 years away from being 2 years away, then there is no reason for him to be occupying a very valuable roster spot on a team that as soon as next season wants to go to the NBA Finals. How is Alan Smolagic going to help that team? He can't, and he won't. And so I think you could waive Smolagic, and he would clear waivers, because there is not another NBA team out there that is dying to get their hands on Alan Smolagic right now, not with the injury concerns and not with what he showed last year. He could clear waivers, you could bring him back to the Santa Cruz team, and he could just develop for 3 more years in Santa Cruz on the G League. That's not the worst case scenario for him. It's the best, you know, option for his development, and it's the best option for the Warriors, because you've got Juan Toscano-Anderson right now, who you need. You've got Nico Mannion, by the way, on a two-way contract, if maybe you want to bring him up at some point. But right now, it feels like something's got to give. The problem is selling that to Joe Lacob. Hey, listen. This guy, who your son is responsible for bringing to this roster, bringing to this team, responsible for discovering, it's not going to work out. We need to send him to the G League indefinitely. He can't be a part of this 15-man roster right now. You try selling that to Joe Lacob. You try selling that to Joe Lacob, plus, obviously, the tax implications. If you waive Alan Smolagic, his contract is guaranteed. You're going to eat that money up front. And then, of course, you're going to have to pay more money in luxury taxes to bring up Juan Toscano-Anderson or whomever. Maybe you want to go sign a real center. Because, like I said earlier this week, had you brought a real center in after Marquese Chris went down, you would have had more depth. Maybe you're not in this situation right now. But when you've got Marquese Chris out for basically the entire season, he may be able to come back toward the end, maybe for the playoffs if the Warriors are in it. When you're wasting a roster spot on Alan Smolagic, you're wasting two very valuable roster spots all within the front court. That's really tough during the course of this season, especially this season where somebody, because of contact tracing, could just be ruled out indefinitely for a few games. Every roster spot matters. Every single one. And so I think the Warriors have to have a real adult conversation about what it is that they want to do with Smolagic. Because to me, this just doesn't feel sustainable right now. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here next week.